Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark amove.tv for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast that is not happening live because I'm having all sorts of internet troubles. This episode is brought to you by Frontier's shitty internet service.
But the podcast will not die. They can't stop us.
It's all maybe. You know what? Well, I mean,
no, man.
Don't tempt it, man. Don't tempt
it. It's all conspiracy, man. What they're trying to do is make you go mobile. They're like, you don't even play computer games. Get on your phone. Record on your phone.
Do everything on your phone.
Yep.
Move back to the dark ages. And gas is the price it was like 8 years ago. Let's make internet as bad as it was over a decade ago.
What a wild time in video gaming. We ourselves have been doing some Google trending. Google Trends, I should say. That makes it sound like we're trending. No, I don't think my name is Google Trending. But what an insane time in video games, and we're staring towards a future with three mobile games in our sphere, in our circle.
In the Blizzard sphere and Blizzard adjacent sphere, ex-Blizzard sphere.
In the mind.
Got them all on my phone, Kyle. I've got them all.
It's insane. Like, this is such a wake-up call for so many Blizzard enthusiasts. Because we're small. Like, even things like World of Warcraft is small in comparison to things like Elden Ring and console gaming and mobile market. Like, all of a sudden, without a BlizzCon to sort of reaffirm our fandom, it feels really isolated out here. And the internet's trying to stop us. My internet, your internet, they're all trying to stop us from talking about our favorite game, Heroes of the Storm.
They don't want to hear that they were trying to stop us from telling the truth, Kyle. They don't want me sitting here on this microphone telling you the hard truth that you're going to get a new Indiana Jones movie before you get a new hero in Heroes of the Storm.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, Indiana Jones 4, man.
When's the announcement date? When's it coming out?
This is so unrelated to what we're talking about, except you and I both love Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones 4, as we speak, Harrison Ford is on a stage in the Anaheim Convention Center, where BlizzCon used to happen, for Star Wars Celebration, which I guess really is just Lucasfilm Celebration.
Yeah.
Because Harrison Ford just took the stage.
I see.
Or Indiana Jones 4. No, Indiana Jones 5. The 4 was Crystal Skull.
Why make him do that? He hates everything about anything with the public. Just announce it with someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. Looks like theater date is June 30th, 2023, Kyle. All right, Heroes. Heroes, you've got 1 year to prove me wrong.
I mean, in that grubby video he did, we talked about a couple weeks ago, he said he expects George R. Martin's next book to come out before they fix Warcraft 3. So there's a lot of dates floating around right now. I don't know. We're on the edge of the season here. We got 1 month left in the season. We know that there are. Yeah, well, we are.
Kyle, we go through the song and dance every time. So I'm going to do my role now of being the wet blanket. The seasons mean nothing, Kyle. They are lies. They are a goalpost that is made to move. They don't even put the goalpost in the ground. It is on a set of casters, and they just scoot it as needed.
But it's so ugly if they mess this one up. Not like in like a PR kind of way. I don't really care about that. You know, we're just all enjoying our favorite game here.
We've talked about it too. They don't have PR. We don't hear from the devs at all anymore. But
I'm more saying that puts us at, wait a minute, a month? I guess that's technically the end of June. No, wait, how do months work? I always get a personal problem here. Personal problem, but I find it very confusing that 5 is the middle of 10. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
All right, hold up 10 fingers.
Okay.
All right.
So for our audio audience, which is everybody this week, because my internet is so bad, I can't stream.
Do it with me. Do it with me. Everyone at home.
Everyone at home. Hold up. Hold up both your hands. Both hands, all fingers out.
All right. And lower the fifth finger.
What? Why would I lower my fifth finger? If I'm going for half of 10, I'm lowering a hand.
That's my point. That's my point. There is no half of 10.
Because you've got 10. You take a hand away.
No, your fifth finger. And now I have four over here and five on this one. It makes no sense.
Because you're doing it wrong.
It makes no sense. So
I listen. I love you, man. But the only thing not making sense right now is you.
The only thing that makes sense is three, because then you put down that finger and now you have one on either side. This makes no sense. So
I have never been sadder that we're not streaming on video.
Everyone can do it at home. Everyone
you
do
look
it at home.
Like a crazy person right now.
So what's halfway through the year? Is it June 1st or is it June or July 1st?
I think of July 1st as it's halfway through the year.
Okay, so it's pretty. And that's why I'll be upset. I'm totally with you that you shouldn't get your hopes up, and they've totally moved that goalpost 1,000 times. But I will be upset at the prettiness, the geometry, the symmetry of the calendar if they mess up this date. Because if you're going to do 6-month seasons and you're going to make it all like September 23rd or something random like that, that's an ugly 6-month season. Now we're just making stuff up. So I pressure them. They got a month left. I implore you. Season roll. July 1st.
I mean, yeah, we're about to start June. I would be fine with that. But to me right now, like this isn't even salt. I don't even think about it. It is a meaningless thing to me in game. It means utterly nothing, and I expect nothing from a season roll. So to them, I would say, why don't you just rethink it? Because it really doesn't serve much of a purpose at this point. I don't expect there to be a big event with the next season roll. I would love to be wrong, by the way. Happy to be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong. I think they're just going to reset the season. You're going to have to go do your placements again. That's it.
Yeah, there it might be a mount in the bank, like we've seen with the cat and the other sorts of things. There might be a sort of altered mount that you can get for that reward of the 30 games and whatnot, which is not hard to get. And I got my cat a while ago now. I actually had a lot of fun in Storm League this week, but with the seasons lacking that content, I'm not really sure what you do. I'm not really sure what the right answer is. I love the idea of single month seasons, like Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering kind of has. But does Hearthstone have single month seasons?
Yes, always has. Since the dawn of time, they reset that shiz at the first of every month.
I like that because then I can have a real marathon session and have enough banked decay avoidance to just be that rank at the end of it. And that would feel really good right now. And I mean, I'm also in content creation, right? Like the weirdest thing about content creation is always sometimes you spend more time editing than you actually get to play the game. So in particular, CCL is on right now and I do a lot of interviews, which are, you know, it's awesome that the replay reviews are ending up on the YouTube, which is kind of interesting because like for the first time I'm seeing responses from the general crowd again. And it's been a long time since I've experienced that.
What do you mean by the general crowd?
Well, you know, everyone here listening to this podcast, I think it's safe to say we're all pretty hardcore. You know, if nothing else, you have a lot of game knowledge that you've accrued and you're into this game and is one of your primary hobbies. It's always weird to find your content, move away from that esports watching crowd and end up on the launcher because suddenly you're getting opinions that are very maybe middle of the road would be the best way to put it.
Okay. I don't say casual as a negative, but a more casual audience. I would consider myself a casual Heroes of the Storm player now.
I don't think there's anything wrong with casual, but it's used in a negative way because long ago, I would say World of Warcraft established this. There was a camp making where casuals and hardcores battled for supremacy because both had extreme different ideas of what would be better for the game. And so they segmented and console warred each other.
And then we got Mythic Dungeons.
Which I think are still a wonderful invention. Just
I hate them.
I love the Greater Griff system. I love Mech Assault on Xbox. I love tower defenses. I love infinite difficulty. However, it's the reward system of Mythic that's really bad. Like, don't make me random a key. Don't let me not choose where I want to go.
Yeah. For me, it's the timer in the reward system. I don't like the timer. Just let me go. And if it's too hard and I can't complete it, so be it. And then I don't like the Diabloification of items in World of Warcraft. But thank you for coming on this side thought journey with me.
Sure. Well, we're going to see a lot more Diablification. If Blizzard is to be believed with their recent article post that they are aiming to make the biggest breakout mobile game of all time.
With Diablo Immortal?
Yeah. They were, Mike Ibarra was on the Twitter, and there's an article in the Washington Post today about how Blizzard sees Diablo Immortal as the, I don't know if you want to call it computer killer. I'm not sure which. What would it be? It would be the AAA mobile is basically what they're saying. They want mobile to be treated as a AAA platform, and this is them doing that. Their game is so great that mobile would be considered a place where AAA games end up.
You know, I'm not a mobile player, but I would be stoked if they actually accomplished that. Like, if it feels like it has that Blizzard special sauce, and let's go with old school Blizzard special sauce, because these days that's a bit of a loaded term, especially post Warcraft 3 Reforged. But I'd be stoked if they nailed that. I'd be all for it. Everyone thinks I'm just dump on mobile. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm just for the most part disinterested. I don't play a lot of mobile games. This week is that's a lie. I played a lot of mobile games this week. But I've been itching for Diablo. I could go for some Immortal, dude.
I think it's hitting at the right time. I have poo-pooed that, and I have not wanted it. I said it's fine, but it looks like Diablo 3. There's nothing new there in it. But I just beat Vampire Survivors, as much as you can beat that kind of game. I'm kind of just in the market for something kind of mindless and action-y. And I don't really have anything filling that. So perfect timing, Diablo Immortal, by chance. You put out a game during a rather slow season. After the Elden Rings and after the Horizon Zero Dawns and all that, there's just kind of a lull right now. Ultimately, my problem when I look at mobile games is the hard cutoffs and the game being left in a state that isn't its prime. So Warcraft 3, for instance, you know, great game previously.
That you just pulled a Garrett.
Topical. It was a great game, and it was refined to a point of greatness and then left. And you could enjoy it as much as you wanted for as long as you want, and it didn't have bloat or constantly remind you that it once was something else at a time. Granted, you know, probably hardcore Warcraft 3 players missed some sort of buff, something about abominations and something about this class, and I think the gargoyles were once like OP, so undead never got over it. At any rate, the problem with mobile games ultimately is that they are cut off hard when the time comes. And as the development shrinks down, there is a chaos and a stumbling that happens in those games as they try to regain audience, try out new things, and then it gets left in this very distressed state, which some people might be like dramatic, be like, oh, you're describing Heroes. I'm not. Like, Heroes has been left in a very workable state. Like, I'm talking about like Abandonware, like truly a game that you used to love on mobile and simply does not function well enough anymore because funding fell off. And these predatory schemes, you know, some games avoid being super predatory, but that machine of income that they're after, the second that dries up, things just get weird in there. And for Immortal to break out into AAA game territory, that's the hurdle for me. is we have to get over this sense that you are constantly mobilifying your game, that you are making these weekly logins and this insanity, that when eventually it's time to move on, which you should. No king rules forever. Just make a game that's good. And when you turn off that stuff, when you say it's done, like, turn it off. Just shut it all down and say, here's a beautiful game, a relic of your time. You know, like an old, like walking through the history museum and like seeing an old butter churn or something. Like, there's not old butter in there. Take the butter out and put it on display. Not the butter, the butter churn.
That's fair. Dude, so when we talked about the Grubby video, I when you mentioned it, I hadn't seen it yet. I watched it this week and I didn't realize just how in bad of a way Warcraft 3 was. Like the thing that left me flabbergasted, if I were to use a strong word.
Is flabbergasted a strong word?
Yes,
it's a bigger word.
Yes, Kyle, it is. I can't believe they don't have an official ladder. I didn't know that. And there's a fan-made one that is technically very against the terms of service, but everybody's using it openly. And Blizzard ain't doing anything about it. Almost like they know that what a sorry state the game is in, and they don't feel like the bad press that would come from shutting down such a service.
I didn't really pick up on the part about the anti-TOS. Granted, like I said, back in the day, we used to run, well, it was a notepad, and then eventually it became a pseudo mod, but basically a piece of paper next to your desk where you'd write down Warcraft 3 Dota players' names, and then you would convince the host of the channel to kick people who were leavers.
Ah.
You sort of used to be like, so-and-so's a leaver. I've got a date here. I wrote down this date. And everyone would be like, oh, how official. Let's kick them out. And yes, I was on some of those lists. I was 13. Like, I totally left games.
So on July 1st, 1999, I was confused because I can't tell if it's halfway through the year. Loves to splooge. Is a leaver. Kick him.
Eventually, they started having detection too for new names, and that's where the whole system fell apart for me. Because I would always, I like I said, I was 14. I was ragey. I would leave a lot of games, and eventually they started detecting new names that so and so doesn't have any games under their belt. So they started making channels for new players, so you could play a few games to get something under your belt, so you could actually join the real games and the real channels. You know, life finds a way.
I was on a 56K modem trying to play the OG like Half-Life Counter-Strike mod, and I would just throw myself into whatever meat grinder my modem would connect me to.
That would happen too.
That's how I would play.
I mean, StarCraft, Warcraft 3, all of those just ran beautifully compared to actual 3D games.
I never got into them. By the time I got into Warcraft 3, WoW was damn near out. And that was like my first computer that could actually run stuff like that too. Like it was my senior year graduation gift was a laptop.
Oh, nice.
And that's when I got Warcraft 3. WoW came out, but I didn't want to pay monthly for a game yet. So yeah, I didn't get into competitive online RTSs until StarCraft 2.
I got very lucky in terms of just my mom worked at Intel, and they did a thing where they had too many chips. So they're like, here, all employees. And we built a gaming computer. It was like, I had a gaming computer from that like 14-year-old, 13-year-old. And
nice.
Very, very fortunate to have just a for the time, like Voodoo 5, was it? Like, it was a kick-ass computer. I'm not sure if Voodoo's even went to 5. I remember a Voodoo 3.
You're talking about a CPU or a GPU? Or
something. That's the the game processing unit. Yeah,
so that'd be a GPU. Yeah. Because Intel's process. Anyway, someone out there's like I remember exactly what it is, and you're wrong because of this. And I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, that didn't run Intel. It was the Pentium something inside. Pentium 3, maybe.
That would be your that would be your processor.
The bunnies were still dancing in the commercials. They were lighting something on fire, and they got a bunch of trouble for it. Oh, that was Apple actually did that. Apple ran the commercial where the Intel bunnies, you remember the dudes in the suits, right?
I do not remember anything about Intel bunnies. No.
I mean, my mom worked at Intel, so clearly it was a big cultural touchstone, but there was, you know, these Pentium commercials where they would like be like the power inside the computer. And there's a bunch of people in clean suits, like dancing. They had like crazy disco outfits. And then Apple ran a campaign where they got rid of the bunnies in the advertisement, then had to put an apology out because of the commercial they made. But then they were like, we're just proving a point that Apple's better.
Yeah, I had to look this up. I don't remember any of this. Nope. None of
there was no reason why they were called Intel bunnies. It was just called the bunnies. So it doesn't look like bunnies, but yeah, you see what I'm talking about? Like you Googled that and you see
flashy. Oh, I'm seeing it. And it's, yeah, I missed this entirely. I remember Intel Inside. But that's it.
Well, the Intel Inside thing was also kind of dumb because at first it was that bum, 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 bum. And then they like added a bunch of numbers to the end of the Pentium and just kept going. And they just kept upping the echo and upping the echo until it was just this reverberating madhouse.
I have a lot of weird specific memories about all those Intel stuff. For me, it's the Core 2 Duo, because that was the first like proper gaming tower I built. And that's like what I played like Wrath on. So that was my, I think I built it at the end of BC to get ready for Wrath. And that had an Intel Core 2 Duo. And that was my computer for a long time. But did I play, now I'm trying to think, did I play HOTS? I don't think I played HOTS on that computer. I think I'd finally upgraded by the time we got into the Tech Alpha. But
1997 would have been the year of the entering the American consciousness, according to IntelNewsroom.com.
Damn.
Premiered during the Super Bowl XXXI. So 31?
That'd be a 31, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to talk about getting confused with numbers? Show me some Roman numerals. That's how you stump me.
I'm glad. I'm pretty good until the V shows up with the one on the either side. That's the one that gets weird.
Yes.
I'm pretty solid up to that point.
I'm glad our hands don't look like X's, V's, and I's.
Yeah, I don't have any hand analogy for that. But I don't remember. So gaming on phones and such.
Yeah, I was going to bring it back to the grubby videos. Like my point being after we got back from our gaming nostalgia that heads all the way back to OG Warcraft 3 is I knew it was bad and I knew they really like because they broke. They're like basically killed original Warcraft 3 matchmaking to pave the way for Reforged. But I didn't realize that like they were still just straight up missing features from Reforged, promised features.
Yeah. Yeah, it's messy. So naturally, I think a lot of us are hoping that the mobile boom is going to collapse isn't the right word, but distribute that the population of mobile at Blizzard will be redistributed across the various games and we'll have that hot support. And in that case, I don't think there's going to be much at the beginning of this next season because we're not far enough away from that redistribution happening. I do not see Arclight Rumble as a game that's going to take massive amounts of support to maintain. Maybe Diablo Immortal. I'm not really sure what their production cycle is going to look like and what they're even planning for additional content. Arclight Rumble, obviously, you make new heroes, you make new maps, and the system can be rather trim. But with them canceling Diablo's expansion after Reaper of Souls, like clearly it is a lot of work to make a Diablo game. And I don't see Diablo Immortal being any less work, particularly if they're aiming to have triple A level graphics that a phone can handle.
Yeah, this might have been why it took so damn long, though. They may have actually been, you know, putting thought into that and thinking about the long term and setting themselves up to be able to iterate on the game. I don't know, but it's had an extremely long development cycle that we're aware of. Who knows how long it was, you know, in development before we were made even aware of the game's existence, well, right?
When did Reaper of Souls come out?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
That was a exploratory question, as I'm also 2014.
March 2014, so, almost 10 years ago.
So 8 years of production for.
I mean, you are assuming that they got off that and went straight to work on Immortal when they've said there's actually a lot of there's a lot of Chinese development happening on this game as well. It's not even all internal. And also there's Diablo 4, dude. Like,
oh, that's
it wasn't
right,
one-to-one. It wasn't that clean of a, that's not how the teams work.
I forgot the Tencent is not like an in-house Blizzard project entirely.
Not entirely. No. So yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. I mean, and also like you can look to stuff like Hearthstone. I mean, it's playable on both, but so Immortal's going to be as well. And Hearthstone is still going and not arguably, it is their biggest cash cow. So Diablo maybe as well. And you know, if it brings home the bacon, it's going to, I would assume, get the attention that you would want something that is a rolling success to continue to have.
I am curious about your time in these mobile games.
Yeah, man. I had one more thought that I wanted to just mention too, which is like, I think we've already kind of made it to like enthusiast level mobile games, because look at League of Legends. Look at Wild Rift. It's a legitimate freaking MOBA. You know, it's come up a few times. I tried it a few weeks ago. I don't love it because I really dislike last hitting, and it is still a thing in Wild Rift, but it is a proper freaking MOBA that just happens to be playable on your phone. So, you know, I think, you know, if you're a more, I don't know, let's see, a millennial gamer, old school gamer, a PC gamer, a strategy game gamer, like, I think there's already been things on mobile that are too, I would say, the fit and finish level that we are used to as PC gamers. I think we're already there. And if Diablo Immortal can, you know, I think Diablo Immortal has, to me, it looks like it's on the level of Wild Rift in terms of fit and finish. A very different genre of game, but what I'm trying to describe here is like, if you're a PC gamer, you're kind of used to a certain level of quality, right? So I think they can do it. It looks like it to me. I think they could. I'm not super skeptical about them being able to continue to have regular quality content additions for Diablo Immortal, but obviously we'll have to see. But yeah, dude, this week I played a crap ton of not a Blizzard game, but it is a ton of the original Hearthstone developers just announced their new card game, which is Marvel Snap, and 2 days later started throwing out beta invites. And
it's the right way to do it.
I got a day one beta invite. I've never felt more special, Kyle. I've never got.
Well, you are pretty special. Yeah.
I never got a day one invite to Jack.
I mean, you did go to Korean barbecue multiple times with Ben Bro. That's got to count for something.
every year since like 2015. Yes.
There you go.
It became exactly. A bit of a tradition. Yes. Yeah. I'm just kind of, they're fun guys. I like saying hi. I like checking in on them. I didn't know shit ahead of time, by the way. Some people were like, oh, all those, I got some friendly jabs from Twitter this week on, oh, you get day one, all those Korean barbecues paid off. It's like, I really had no clue what they were working on. I couldn't get shit out of them.
I mean, also, having attended those Korean barbecues, they were not business meetings or pressing of hands or whatever the expression is. Like, those things were just a couple of nerds sitting around eating food.
No, we mostly talked about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And like what other games we were playing. That was it. But yeah, I think I've put like 7 hours this week into Snap. And I don't.
That's pretty good for a mobile game.
I don't play phone games, man. That's a shit ton of time for me on a phone. It's good. I like it. It definitely has, again, like to talk about that, like that fit and finish. Like it you can see the trail from Hearthstone. You can see that DNA. You can feel those devs in Marvel Snap. It has that. I almost said snappiness. Ben Brode one time referred to it as crispiness. Like sure. That feel of Hearthstone, the feel of like playing a card or opening a pack. And he kept saying they used the word crispy to describe how they wanted it to feel. And Marvel Snap feels crispy. It feels very tactile. And it's just freaking beautiful. It's a really gorgeous card game. I like how it looks. If you're a fan of the purple and blue 80s space aesthetic of Heroes of the Storm, I think you'll feel right at home in Marvel Snap. It is horribly obtuse from a monetization aspect. There are a lot of different currencies and they're very confusing to me. But also, you can't just buy cards. So it's, I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
If you ever want to go down a fabulous rabbit hole, look up the history of the laugh track, in which case that was known as sweetening.
Sweetening?
Yeah, that was the phrase, the inventor of the laugh track. He made a special box that no one knew how it worked. It was basically a mixer of its time. It was a drum pad, if you will, kind of like I have on my mixer here where I can play sound effects. He invented in his own home a laugh track that had recordings of laughter. And then while watching the show, he would press these buttons. No one knows what the machine looks like that added the laugh track because it was so secret. And in fact, eventually it became too expensive to get this guy to sweeten, quote unquote, your movies and films, which is why Scooby-Doo has such atrocious laugh tracks, because they did that in-house, not knowing how the invention actually worked. So they could only run two different kinds of laughter.
Oh, wow. That's, didn't know that. That's amazing. But yeah, I'm enjoying, point is, I'm enjoying Snap. And then I also got into,
I've got a question for you on it. Because from the outside, it kind of looks artifact-y, like you're supposed to run multiple battlefields at the same time. Or is it more like a war sort of system where, yeah, there's three battlefields, but you basically go, my number's higher than yours, my number's, and field number three, my number's higher than yours, I win.
It's much more simpler from a pick up and play aspect than artifact. And I don't even really remember how artifact's three lane system worked. They call them locations. So since it's like Marvel based, you get like New York and nowhere from Guardians of the Galaxy. And I don't know, whatever Thanos's planet's called. There's variance that comes in from those locations, cause every location has an effect and the locations are random every game. And they can be mixed. Like it's very rare you're going to see the same three mix of locations. And so you might get a location that's like, draw two cards. And so you both get extra cards that game compared to the game you just played. And others are like, reduce the power of cards played here by two. And so both of you, as you're playing cards, they're getting powered down by a factor of two. And so it affects the math. And it is about this, like the way you win a location is by having the higher power number, and every card you play has a power figure from zero to whatever. I think the biggest one I have right now is the Hulk, which is 11. And so you need to win two out of three locations to win the match. So the tactics kind of comes from like a really simple tactic is like the beginning of the game, you both play a card at two different locations. You know, early on, I was just, okay, where did my opponent play a location? I'm just going to abandon that location from the start, and I'm just going to worry about these other two. It's like a really simple strategy, but that's where a lot of the counterplay comes in. But there's also card effects and stuff like any other card game.
Are there spells, direct things? Like, can you shock or lightning bolt a enemy hero?
Not directly. There aren't cards that just do that. Every card, at least that I've seen so far, because again, you can't buy card boosters and just get like random cards. You unlock cards and everyone unlocks the same cards at the exact same point in like a level up system. And the level up system goes to a ridiculous number and there's cards to get all along the way. Maybe there's something later on, but everything I've seen so far is an actual, like what you would call in like Magic, or like a creature, what we call in Hearthstone, a minion. It's a hero from, or a villain from Marvel. So they have card effects that can interact, like they can destroy cards, they can discard cards, they can do stuff like that. But there's no cards that are just like a spell from something like Magic or Hearthstone.
Interesting. That kind of comes from the various zones. Then if they come online, they might shoot a laser and destroy cards or something along those lines. I love the live stream they put up because it's just, I assume these are devs, either way, just two people playing. They're not talking. they're so engrossed in the game that I'm like, oh, this must be a good game. Look at them play. They seem really into it.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I know there was one stream they did where I think Ben Brode was shoutcasting. It's a fun game. I think it has a lot of potential. I don't know if I'm gonna keep ravenously playing it like I was, but I'm really enjoying it. I also got into the Warcraft Arc Light Rumble beta.
Okay.
And I haven't even played an hour of it.
Ooh. Like, not even a tutorial? Or was there a tutorial?
Oh, there was a tutorial. I think I might still be in it.
My.
It's very well made. It feels great to, like, click on things and move around the menus. The UI is really good. I've never played one of these games. I kind of hate it.
Yeah,
it is not for me. It is a big, strong not for me. I don't get it. Like, I feel like an old guy listening to rap. I'm just like, I don't understand this. I don't get the appeal.
There's a lot I don't understand about all this. And as someone who's been in computer gaming, that's, you know, kind of what my story was about earlier, just been in computer gaming a very long time. As such, I've really backed off of consoles and haven't had a need for phone play, because when I get away from the computer, I'm like done with screens. I'm done for the day. I'm going to read books. I'm going to look at pictures. I'm going to play in D&D. I'm gonna play monster trucks with my son. Like, so much of my goal when I get away from the computer is not to play more of something. I'm also like not in Chicago anymore. When I was in Chicago, I listened to podcasts, but you had to download those because you would go through the tunnel. I don't know if internet has improved in the tunnels of Chicago or New York, but right now I would not be playing Hearthstone or Marvel Snap on a train, which is kind of like the sexy idea of where you're going to play a mobile game. Like, oh, you're just traveling. Well, you're being seen. You're looking fashionable. You're sitting on the train. You're going to work and your high paying job, and you're going to buy some packs on the way home and some currencies. Like, that's the dream they're projecting at me, like technology commercials. And everyone's an idiot except for the guy who can swipe their phone and instantly order pancakes or something dumb like that. The internet would go out in the tunnel. There's no reason that sexy vision would even come to life, because I'm not going to lose my connection, lose points in your rank, or I guess I could play casually. I'm not sure if these games are going to have ranks. At any rate, what is insane to me is, in doing this background research with Google Trends and kind of watching a lot of the stuff and being a part of YouTube now, mobile games are so tiny compared to console releases like Elden Ring. And granted, a lot of people who watch Elden Ring videos, who watch streams, never play the game themselves. And a game like that, that has this mystique and mystery and heavy, what would you even call that? Behind the scenes lore? Like you know, the lore of
Dark Souls.
Yeah, indirect. The lore of the Dark Souls games is like, as the boss goes down, he says, "Oh, Bobby Heeman, you forsook me." And then he drops a sword that says, you know, "Once 2000 years ago, doth the cat roll." And you're like, oh, damn, like, what's Doth the Cat got to do with Bobby Heeman? I'm really excited about this. I'm going to make a YouTube video about it. So there's a lot of people that, like, digest this content and maybe Google search Elden Ring that don't actually play the game. But Elden Ring just destroys any mobile game. Wild Rift, Raid Shadow Legends, Diablo Immortal, like, the internet doesn't care. So besides, World of Warcraft gets completely destroyed, by the way, too. What I'm going to do is I'm going to throw Minecraft in here that just celebrated its like 20 billionth video on YouTube.
Well, if you go by YouTube trends too, you're also, there's the juggernauts, right? Like, so there's some.
Well, and this is just web searches that I'm looking at in this particular example. But Minecraft is like a fourth up the way from Elden Ring's height. Like, it's weird that we've become so, or game companies become so hyper-focused on mobile, when it feels like, from the information available to us, that console is where games are still just being the huge juggernauts. And maybe it's a factor where, like, if you're playing the game on your phone, you're not actually, you know, Googling it at the same time. But that's kind of counterintuitive to the thing we often see on Reddits where people argue about the game who clearly don't play it anymore. So they're not actually playing it. They're on Reddit arguing about it all day, and then maybe they go home at night and play it. But currently, you are not arguing on Reddit at the same time you're playing a game. At least I hope not. That's a horrible habit to be in if you are.
Yeah, no, I always just assume with a lot of mobile games, like you just play it. I think that talk goes back to that, like that buzzword of AAA mobile games, right? It's like, I don't think a lot of mobile games have been deep enough to warrant communities in my mind. I'm coming from a place of ignorance. I don't play a lot of mobile games, but to me, we're only just now kind of getting to a point of mobile games that are raising eyebrows.
I guess Pokemon, travel, invade people's backyards. What was that called?
Pokemon Go would have been, that was an absolute sensation.
And community building, and people would build friendships and do meetups. Yes.
The game is communal by nature, especially when it first launched. I had so much fun on the subreddit, just reading stories about people bumping into other players just naturally out in the world, like out in a park at 2 a.m, like, oh, hey, what are you doing out here? Oh, there's a Charizard behind that bush. Like it just happens. That game really lends itself to it. So, yeah, like I said, I'm definitely coming from a place of ignorance, but there's so many other factors as well. And I mean, dude, like, it's freaking, I haven't had to shut down Hotlogs. Like, yeah, I'm sure compared to like the Hearthstone stats websites out there, we're a absolute tiny drop in a bucket, but it pays for itself and it makes a profit. Like, I've never had a website that gets the traffic that Hotlogs gets. To me, it's insane. Like, so it's all relative at the end of the day. Like, you don't need to be the biggest, as long as you have a healthy and hungry community.
That's a very good point. I'm just curious about what data they have that has caused this pursuit, and if it's all made up. If it was all just trends, the board executive, the person with the whiteboard comes in and say, and they put mobiles, and the S's were spelled with cash dollars, and they're like, hell yeah, like I'm sold, do it. Like, everyone, I mean,
that is certainly my
gonna play video games.
My extremely limited and borderline cynical view of it. Yeah, like, there's just so much money in mobile games. Why wouldn't you chase it? But also the Chinese market is a big part of that. And
so
Diablo Immortal seems very much geared towards that. But at the same time, I don't know, the more we see about it, and now that we're standing here on the precipice of Diablo Immortal's release, I'm looking at it going, I kind of want to play you.
Yeah, well, it's going to be on PC. Like, and that's a big factor.
That's a huge thing. Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. And it's going to have crossplay. So, like, I don't play on my phone, but if I want to, cool. I'm going to be able to just pick up my character and keep going.
On my tolerance for any lag is just nil because of so many years of computer gaming. You delay even slightly on the card picking up and Battlegrounds on my phone. And I'm like, this is a useless platform. It's my fault. It's my phone being old. It's my internet being bad, what have you. But the rage is very, very, I would actually love if my phone had an actual like blue jack in it, Ethernet hole. I would use that. I bought one of those for my Switch so I could plug it directly into the internet.
Oh, wow. I didn't know those existed, but cool.
Yeah, they're going through it's a USB to.
If I was really, Ethernet. I mean, if Switch was my only gaming device and I was really into online play, I would totally, I'd be all about that. But dude, we might need to have a talk about your Wi-Fi, because like I play online on like PlayStation on my PlayStation on Wi-Fi. It's fine.
You might have
some problems.
Granted.
Is there lead in your walls? Have you tested your paint?
I haven't. No, I don't actually know how old this place is. I do not get good living room. I don't get good kitchen reception because you got to go, the office, like my internet's right there. The broadcast. I'm bathing in Wi-Fi right now.
I have 100% played Heroes of the Storm games on my laptop, on the couch. No issue. If I try to do it in my bedroom, it'd be a nightmare. My bedroom gets horrible Wi-Fi reception, but anywhere else.
Your bedroom is my kitchen and my dining room.
You remember when we used to do the cocktail streams, Katie and I?
Yeah, yeah.
We did that on Wi-Fi. I would just plop the laptop down on the kitchen counter. We streamed to Twitch on Wi-Fi, and it was fine. We would do three-hour streams, making drinks, no problem.
So my question for you about the Arclight Rumble, were you playing Snap at that time? And did you jump over to Rumble, go, oh, no, no, thank you, and go back to Snap?
Yes.
Okay, so that might be an issue.
Possibly, there's that too. Snap is already more in the wheelhouse of things I would want to play mobile.
Yeah.
Because I already like card games. I don't have a frame of reference for Clash-style games. And yeah, it was not scratching any itch that I needed or wanted scratch. And that's the thing. Like, I want to be very clear. I don't think it's a bad game, but I profoundly don't get it. Like the type of game, the genre of game, not Arclight Rumble. Like the genre of Clash style games. I do not understand the appeal. I really did not enjoy playing it.
Were you bad at it? And I mean that as a legitimate question. Like, I'm not trolling. Like, did you feel?
It's a tutorial, so I couldn't really lose. I mean, maybe I could, but I didn't. I just didn't. I didn't enjoy dropping units and watching them run down a lane.
But did it feel as slow as it looked in the video?
Yeah, it felt very slow.
Oh no.
Yeah, it felt extremely slow.
Huh. It is really interesting watching Ben Brode talk again. I mean, he's intoxicating. He's intensely humble.
He is a marketing department's dream come true. Because that is just who he is. He is genuine, which is what a lot of companies try to manufacture. A lot of marketing departments is what they try to manufacture. That's why Taco Bell has such a witty Twitter presence. They're a faceless conglomerate owned by PepsiCo. Are they still owned by PepsiCo? Anyway, they're trying to humanize their brand. whatever Ben Brode decides he wants to go sell, man, I think it's going to go pretty well because he's a genuine dude who works on things he legitimately is excited about. And so if he wants you to know about it, it's going to come across sincere because it in my opinion, it is.
And that I wonder like how much that is affecting me because I really want to try out this Snap. Like, but it's because of Ben Brode. And I even have like this romanticized idea of like when Ben Brode was in charge of Hearthstone, it was better. And I don't know if that's true or not.
I would probably say no. I do personally have a lot of nostalgia for simpler Hearthstone. I do miss, I would say, up to Un'Goro Crater, like that whole era. From like League of Explorers to Un'Goro Crater. I think that to me, that was the golden age of Hearthstone. I think Hearthstone is healthier now, but I do kind of, I do legitimately miss like the simpler board states and deck archetypes of that era of Hearthstone.
When was the mechanic when you could use your hero power and your minion would buff or do a thing?
Inspire?
Inspire, yeah.
That was the grand tournament and largely considered the single greatest failure of a keyword in the history of the game.
Yeah, that's when I fell off.
Okay.
Because they invented a very exciting card type that you should not put in your deck ever.
Yeah, it was bad.
Just bad.
It was a bad... It's shown back up a couple times, but they don't call it Inspire, but it works like
Oh,
Inspire.
Really? They want to avoid it that bad? Wow.
Well, they also have this thing with keywords where if, like, it's... They don't reuse it unless there's a lot of them in a set.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, so Magic the Gathering does the same thing, too. They're not going to bring out the keyword and confuse people for one card that happens to have. They'll just do it on play or on death.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
So this like there have been a couple cards that when you use your hero power, do X. And like, we were over on the Angry Chicken being like, hey, an Inspire card. Look at this. Yeah. No, TGT was like heyday of the original Hearthstone devs.
Which means I'm doing a little bit of romanticizing. But a little bit,
So if you fell off during the Grand Tournament, you fell off during Ben Brode's tenure.
But I do like it. I like seeing him go. I like his passion for it.
I am a fan of Ben Brode. I like and that team. I like the way they think. I like the way they make games. So I'm not. I guess I am, honestly, if I'm being honest, I am a little surprised I like Snap. But again, I've fallen off. I haven't played it much the rest of this week. For one reason or another, I haven't thought about it too much. But I think I'm at the point now where I want to go and learn more. Like, I want to go watch some Snap videos from people who are better at card games than me, and I want to dive deep, and I haven't had the time to do that. So I don't want to just keep slamming games without actively learning.
Sure, and you hit that pretty barrier, knowing you... from playing a lot of games, you hit that pretty barrier, pretty fast.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, should I spend money? Should I try and like accelerate my cards? Like, how much power do you really get from leveling up? I haven't even gone and Googled if they match you based on how many cards you've unlocked, which I hope they do. Cause I would imagine if you have more cards, you are more likely to have a more powerful deck. But, cause if they don't, damn, what a good game they've got. If they match you up based on how many cards you've got, I think it's a kind of a stellar free-to-play game.
That is a cool idea, because you would have that much raw power at your disposal if it is a simpler, faster game.
Yeah, and then you also wouldn't have this anxiety of, oh no, I don't want to spend money in this game. I'm going to get rolled by people who do.
And then you would have kind of an excitement on an ult. Like, smurfing wouldn't be as big of an issue because you'd be starting lower and fighting other lower people.
That's true.
So yeah. you might be mechanically better, but your power level would be the same as others.
I should research this and find out how it works. Yeah. I'm in the Discord too, and they're like, hey, ask us questions. And I haven't. I don't like bothering people. Anyways, yeah. Hey, imagine if Heroes of the Storm did that. We wouldn't be so mad about Smurfs.
Well,
I guess it tries, right? Like, it's like, you go to the... Well, no, that might be honestly be the problem.
Well, that's the quick match thing, right? Where they try to do the hero level. And this is still in effect because we've had people join us from EU for bonanzas and whatnot, and our search takes a lot longer, and we find lower level accounts. So it tries to do that, but ultimately performance is so impactful in a real-time game. Performance can always be higher in the masses in a turn-based game.
At this point how many real new players of Heroes of Storm do you think there is? Like, maybe we just assume everyone's a smurf and we just throw them against GMs from now on. New account,
know.
Go against the GMs. We're gonna start at the top and work you down instead of the other way around.
There's also a lot of returning players or people who come back briefly. There's been a lot of talk over on the Reddit recently of folks who went off to League of Legends for a year or two and then have decided now to come back because of some frustration despite quality of life updates, which I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. There's been a lot of talk on Reddit this week about how League of Legends just has so many more quality of life updates. I have no idea what that means.
I have no clue. I mean, maybe it's just updates in general because we're not getting that many.
Stores,
I feel thankful as shit after watching the Grubby video, like the fact that we still get the updates that we do. And I know I always meme about Overwatch. It's like, hey, we get more updates. But it's true. We get more updates in Overwatch. It's Heroes. It's weird. It's weird. Like, I love having these conversations about the weird state of things like Warcraft 3, but I don't want it to seem damning because it's we know the team is shared. We know it's all the same devs, and we know they either can't or don't want to talk about it because I'm sure the truth is complicated and probably not. I'm certain they want to do more and probably can't or can't get funding or can't get a big enough team to do so. But my emotional response is I miss hearing from the team. I would really love to hear from them. God, I miss AMAs so much.
Yeah, it's frustrating not answering questions, though. And honestly, coming back to that Ben Brode equation, I don't know if we really have anyone like that on the team who wants to step up and be that figurehead, partially because the backlash would be bad if you then dropped off, disappeared, or went off to form your own company. Like, I don't know the inside story of Ben Brode. It's easy to assume that he was frustrated. He was being held back. He wanted to explore things creatively. He wanted to make his own company. He had an opportunity. Who knows, like, what caused him to go off and make Second dinner.
I mean, he said as much, and I mean, I'm sure there's always extraneous things as well that are never going to see the light of day. But I believe his statement that, you know, he misses the small team atmosphere because the Hearthstone team got big fast. It started as a tiny, tiny, you know, very flexible team, and then Hearthstone took off.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. I have no interest in being part of mega guilds and just being another cog in the wheel. Like, I love being integral, being in the center of my game communities, hanging out. Like, I want to be the healer in many of those guild situations. I want to have the strats ready.
Oh, I'm the opposite, man. I like being a visitor. Just like, I just want to show up. Hey, how's it doing? Oh, this is fun. This is great. How you doing? I control enough things in my own life. I don't need to control. Do you know how many times my neighborhood has tried to get me to join the HOA board?
The board, huh?
And I'm just like, show up to meetings.
Your yard,
like,
that
actually,
nice?
Actually show up to the meetings and stuff.
Oh.
Like, I guess not join the board, but like actually go to HOA board meetings. And I'm just like, no, I'm good. I don't need to watch y'all yell at each other about the height of your grass.
That's different. What I'm talking about is like the DM at the table situation. I'm not going to be able to create a stress-free environment without stressing about it. Like, that's the reality of it. You got to make hard cuts. And if you don't want to hang out with frustrating people, you're going to have to throw down once in a while. And I put myself in a position often when it comes to my communities or my table, certainly as DM, where I'm going to control that atmosphere.
That's fair.
But I don't think I would go to a homeowners association. I think that would just feel very futile.
Yeah, I was also thinking of like when we go to like car meets, like I have no interest in organizing a car meet, but I love going to them.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I have no interest in like, okay. Yeah, different levels. When it comes to video games, when it comes to my pure enjoyment, I like to be at the head. Mm-hmm. I like to make sure everyone's having a good time.
You're a nurturer, Kyle.
And in that way, like I would very much be like Ben Brode. Like I would want to know every face in my department. I'd want to know everyone's name, and I'm horrible at names, so it'd have to stay pretty small. And I would leave rather quickly when I felt like corporate overlords or situations were fluctuating so frequently that I didn't have that control anymore and that positive influence.
Well, that's a little humorous considering, yeah, I'm going to leave. Blizzard just got too big. I'm going to go make a game about Marvel.
Sure, and the whole Snap name sounds like they're just going to do Star Wars Snap. I mean, these images can be easily replaced with the planets and the forces. Like, I'm curious to know how much ownership Marvel has over the product and if we'll see copycats very quickly.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, Star Wars is owned by the same overlords, so.
Exactly, so it wouldn't be, you know, a villainous copycat. I mean, obviously, there's going to be copycats, right? Like, within weeks of that release, there'll be a Steam game. Because how many Slay the Spires did we see quickly there?
Yeah. No, but it's like, I don't know, it's very art forward as well. Like, and I don't think of Star Wars that way, which is not a derogatory thing at all, but like it is very much like comic art, and it feels cut from Blizzard cloth, like that very illustrative, you know, art first vibe. You know, I see it in Heroes of the Storm. I see it in every Blizzard game. And I see it in Snap.
Do you see it in Hearthstone?
Totally.
Still?
Yes.
I feel like they've lost the style for a long time now. Their variance is very high.
They use the same artists. Like a lot of the most famous, like Matt Dixon, who did like the Noyotron back in the day, does a crap ton of illustrations for Hearthstone. And his style hasn't changed at all. That guy has I could tell you, you could show me every card in Hearthstone and I could just be like, that one's Matt Dixon. That one's Matt Dixon. I could pick out all of his cards.
I'm not saying like you can do that in... You can do that in most games, like Magic the Gathering. There's absolutely phenomenal artists that do those. And sometimes they have not so good artists that are also lined up amongst the fabulous artists.
I only know Carla Ortiz in Magic. She did a bunch of concept art. She was on the freaking credits for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Carla Ortiz is an absolute juggernaut of a concept artist, but she does. I don't know if she still does, because I don't play Magic right now, but she used to do a ton of Magic cards.
Probably the weirdest thing about Magic cards, this is an aside, by the way, is a lot of them have gotten very photo-y. You know, like clearly, I don't think they painted over a photo, but they definitely took a picture of their friends and then painted it. Like, it just looks like a person. Does that make sense? It's no longer a painting. It's a person.
Yes, but it's also kind of Magic style. Like, there's very recognizable faces, and there's really no way to do that without taking reference. Like, the legendary comic artist Alex Ross famously takes he goes to long lengths to take reference photos for his artwork. You're Google searching Alex Ross right now, aren't you?
I am actually. That's really interesting that he does, because it's still got a crafted quality, you know, being on the outside of art. I don't really know how better to express it, but it looks like art.
Add reference photos to the end of your Alex Ross, because he famously has published a lot of his reference photos, and they are kind of hilarious, but also pretty wild.
Oh, I like this one of Harley Quinn and the Joker. That's solid.
Yeah. But there's a guy he's used for years for Superman that just kind of looks like his Superman.
Okay, I can see it. It's that extra step, though, of making the chin fantastical.
That's fair. I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I'm looking at some of these.
Oh, my goodness. I love Frazetta.
Oh, Frank Frazetta.
Yeah, Frazetta. Yeah. I just love that old barbarian with the turbo legs.
I've never heard it called turbo legs. That's the only thing I'm going to refer to it as now.
It's so good. It's so great.
This is a guy that just didn't ever want to stop taking figure painting class.
No. And then he'd like add a lizard in there and call it fantastical.
I love Frazetta. Yeah. My roommate in college had a big Frazetta book.
This is a great rabbit hole. I will enjoy this later.
Yes. Enjoy it. And by the way, Frazetta is the through line to Blizzard art. It's that and like Warhammer.
Yeah. I'd have to go back. I don't think Hearthstone is like lost the lead, like they're, you know, oh no, it's no longer Warcraft looking, how could they get away from big shoulders and spikes? Like, I don't think that's their problem. I just think art variance is higher.
I think that's something that you know, next time you're bored, go look up the latest set, because I think it's some of the best art they've done in a while.
Okay. This is something I'm very mad at D&D for. D&D has been dropping the ball for a while now on art quality.
Well, someone who knows some people who have been freelance artists on D&D, I know what they pay.
Dude, and I know there's a lot of really great artists that do a D&D project and get minimal time to make it any better.
They need so much art. It doesn't matter how big Wizards of the Coast is. It has a budget.
And D&D doesn't make Magic the Gathering money.
No. You buy a book. Katie likes the minis. She likes some of those D&D minis, but
minis are right.
Yeah. she hasn't bought as many of them as she has Warhammer, though. So, hey. Anyways, man. Before we do some Q&A and wrap this sucker up, we should thank our patrons for supporting us over at patreon.com/ITN. Justin Shaw, you are our latest patron. Thank you so much for signing up, Justin. And Cameron decided we deserved a raise, Kyle. Cameron upped their pledge.
Well, thank you, Cameron.
We didn't tell Cameron to, but Cameron did. So, Cameron, thank you very much. Thank you for upping your pledge. Really appreciate it. And we also appreciate it when you all write in to itncast@gmail.com or drop us a message in the question channel of the Patreon Discord, because then we get to answer your questions in our mailbag segment.
Darkness, stop calling.
Does anyone else hear that buzzing?
Hold on. Darkness just texted me.
Mobiwan writes in, probably hiding out in our mailbag, trying to not get a cease and desist for that name with Kenobi premiering tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow night?
Dude. Well, actually, okay. For you, it'd be tonight at midnight. For me, it would be 3 a.m. So I'm going to Twitter is not going to get opened tomorrow.
All right. I just finished up some animes I've really been enjoying, so I've got some time. I will watch this early, unlike the Boba Fett thing I still haven't watched.
I think you might enjoy Boba Fett. A lot of people didn't. Know. I think it's weird enough that you'll like it.
Maybe. Because
I liked it. And I kind of liked it for the reason a lot of people pointed out, like they didn't like it. And I'm like, no, I love this weird shit. It's weird.
The internet got to me too, because like I missed that it even came out, and then we were 3 weeks in, and everyone was making fun of like the racing episode.
Oh, where,
like,
yes, that is absolutely the worst chase sequence I've ever seen. I cannot defend it.
And then someone does like a twirl to shoot a gun that was completely unnecessary.
That's also
like,
dumb. Yeah, that's also dumb.
I know that Star Wars is campy, but like there's a limit to the camp I can ingest.
Those are literally the two worst things in the whole show.
Okay. All right. Well, they got to me.
And it's like 3% of the whole series. So anyway, Mobi-Wan writes, what are some really good hero synergies right now? Also, what are pairs to avoid, like an ETC face melt after mouth tries to root? I was in that game the other day. I saw the ETC just keep knocking everyone out of the roots.
And this is so sad because ETC doesn't have to face melt. Face melt is a wonderful defensive tool that doesn't have to be used offensively. And I know there's a talent that lets you do bonus damage after you power slide and all that, but just stop. Face melt is one of the most plainest, most valuable tools in the entire game. Stop using it randomly. There is a time and place for it, and it counters so many things on this planet. There's a reason why Mal'Ganis isn't allowed in the game. It's because things like face melt exist in Lucio's boop. ETC Malfurion is an amazing combo. Just stop face melting wrong.
You sound like you have strong opinions.
There was an ETC you kept knocking people out of my Stukov's Islands. And it was unnecessary. And like I said, I've been viewing a lot of those YouTube comments on the guide videos I make with Heroes Hearth. And I'm not going to sit here arguing with YouTube comments. If more, it's been interesting because it's challenged me to think about how I can describe things better, such as the Johanna video. There were a lot of comments about, this isn't a Johanna guide, this is a macro guide. And you go, well, I mean, that's kind of the lane clear tank. We're going to talk about macro. Like, that's what we're here to do. The macro is Johanna's off job. And that off job has such huge prevalence as to why you take her in the first place. That this is one of the primary things we need to talk about. You really don't need to sit there and describe how to line up your blind, like you hit them or you don't. So I think that's why I'm so insistent about the face melt thing, because it's very easy when you look at the lower leagues to be like, and I'm not jumping on Mobi-Wan, by the way. Mobi-Wan, great question. Great example. Honestly, great example. That's just kind of where my head's at. Is, yes, but face melt doesn't have to be used. There are absolutely like counter synergies that can happen. And I think those are more in the terms of like required combo oriented things. Like, for instance, a Kerrigan or an Alarak has to use their pull and push often to accomplish their goal. And if you were in a situation where, let's say you're playing alongside, and it's almost hard to pick one, but maybe Chromie, right? Someone whose entire business is based on shooting big line attacks. Like, that's a situation where those two are not going to work well together, because Chromie and Kerrigan and Alarak are going to constantly move the target, push him around, and Chromie's not going to be able to line up. And there's no real way to say, Alarak, Kerrigan, calm the hell down and let Chromie fire. Now, Chromie can also react to Kerrigan and say, hey, I'll fire once you stun. So maybe Alarak's the better example there. But you ask about positive hero synergies. I really like Zul Stukov. Garrett's been playing a lot of Zul recently, so I've enjoyed putting a Stukov with that. It's really fun to do low blow build where you get the resets on your hand and your range is so great that you have a very high chance of actually silencing the target that gets rooted.
Oh my God, dude. Having that silence up when the bone prison ends so that if they do have an escape, they cannot immediately activate it leads to so many confirmed kills. It's amazing.
It's really fun. And as the Stukov, you're doing decent damage. You have a very reliable way to hit your weighted pustule. There's just a lot in there that's going for you. And there's things like Kel'Thuzad Zul, where you're going to have a higher chance to hit. There's things I like Zul'jin Zul. Any of these where you have a hard-to-hit skill shot, Zul makes it a lot easier. The problem being, of course, we're playing quick match, and going in with Zul Kel'Thuzad doesn't guarantee that Kel'Thuzad's going to have a wonderful time. Your chance of having a better time increases with these more generalized heroes like Stukov.
I dig it. Dude, I always think Vala first. Like, when I think of pairs, I just like, who do I want with Vala? And, like, really, it's like any front line that can slow things a lot or hold things still. Make me real happy as a Vala. You know, helps protect, but more importantly, helps the Vala stay connected, kind of a thing. I know Mei has, like, an absurdly skewed win rate when paired with Vala, which makes a lot of sense when you think about it in that,
yeah,
in that limelight. I never get to play with the Mei, so I don't have a lot of personal experience with that. But more recently, Rhaegar feels really good with Vala. I know it's not a front line, I know it's not a, you know, a tank, but even Totem in its nerfed form does a lot of help to control the battlefield and control that fight that you are in and keep that Vala connected. Not to mention, you know, healing. Plus, you can consider doing a Bloodlust. It's not very popular right now, but it's a boon.
I really like Orphea Anduin, because Orphea, when she's ahead, is really forward focused, and you want to use that slam, that
chomp.
Shadow Waltz, right?
Oh, Shadow Waltz. Yeah.
To go forward and keep maintained rather than doing a Shadow Waltz disengage and then have to be like, anyway, let me walk back in and not use my actual cooldown on time. And so letting Orphea just go wild and then Anduin pulling her out is really fun. It's not as valuable on things like Illidan or Butcher. Or maybe it's just that I pulled them out too late, so your Illidan always dies or the Butcher always dies. Because those missiles will connect. I think Orphea, often wailing on an enemy melee, and we're still in this tank-busting meta, means that she's not receiving all the ranged attacks, whereas when you pull out that Butcher or that Illidan, every little air missile is still flying after them. And even though you pull them out of fourth health, all those Vala bullets and Rainer's trackers are all flying through the air and still going to connect.
That makes a lot of sense. I like another one that I've liked with Rhaegar lately. Like when I'm out of Fs to give and just want to have fun, I love going and getting back on Li Ming, despite the fact that she hasn't been above a 50% win rate for like years. But oh my God, she was so much fun during the heyday of Rhaegar. And still is. She's another good pairing with Rhaegar. If you're still riding the Rhaegar wave, I think Li Ming is another good and fun pairing.
I could see that working well too, because Rhaegar has at least enough lane clear that your two stack, wherever you may end up, can actually clear out the lane and get to something aggressive with the orbs.
Yeah. Yeah, it can kind of help fill that lane clear gap that Li Ming inherently brings by not being able to lane clear worth a damn. But again, it's just like that totem is going to help you actually land Li Ming attacks, which is very nice. You mentioned Sukhov. Who's Sukhov pairing well with these days? Zarya is number one, but almost no games played. So that's take that big with a big fat grain of salt.
Yeah, I can see that. Zarya probably not a very popular hero.
With a realistic number of games played, Jaina is a really good pairing with Sukhov. That's interesting.
I mean, the slows are really valuable with Stukov, because then you just land in that big meat arm and hitting pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And that can be a lot of fun. In the CCL right now, we're seeing a lot of Lunara Genji, being that Lunara can clear lanes and pressure with the poison for the Genji cleanup. So you have to do it two ways, right? You don't just want raw damage, because Genji has bad lane clear. You need that lane clear on Lunara. And then you dot them up enough that Genji goes in, and usually with like a Swift Strike build, so he can get the kill resets and reset in general from hitting multiple heroes. And then it's all Dragon Strike from there. Dragon, they're both. Is he a double dragon kind of guy? I know Hanzo's a double dragon here. Let's see. Are both those things called dragon? No, X Strike's the other one. Yeah, so this is Dragon Blade.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Stukov does well with a lot of Stack the Circle heroes. Tassadar's up there, for crying out loud.
Man, I haven't seen a Tassadar in a long time.
Neither have I, but apparently it's happening. Quite a few games played with a Stukov specifically. Funny enough, Kael'thas, miserable win rate with Stukov.
Our last balance patch was on March 29th, and that didn't touch Tassadar either. So, man, when did he get reined in? We had shock channel reduced. These look like buffs back on, this was 2021. So it's been over a year since Kassadar has been touched in any way. And that was a buff. So it looks like his nerf was 2020 October was probably the last time we saw heavy Kassadar participation.
Yeah.
We're coming up on 2 years of Kassadar being in the background.
Do we want him to be in the foreground?
Not really. Like he
has been a problem multiple times in the past.
Yeah, and he's not extremely active. And increasing his making him the Vol of spellcasters, increasing his squishiness more and giving him all that power back doesn't feel good. I think even Vala's in a really solid place. I did fight a Gazlo in Storm League last night who was very aggressive and really good. I was kind of impressed by that.
I've been seeing more and more Gazlos. This week I solo queued into it just a disgusting five stack. So the thing that's in my mind this week is an Abathur Cho'Gall, where the Cho'Gall's two names were clearly planned to do just this.
Oh, no. Gross.
Yeah, I think their name was God of War, and it was like the first name was God, and the back half was of War. Oh, War.
Yeah.
And I was cute, like, you dicks. But really, not their fault. It's the matchmaker's fault. I should not have been in that game.
Just looking through a couple other CCL combos, but a lot of them... A lot of them are so dependent on what's happening in the game. Like Hammer Tychus happened recently, which I think is interesting, where you bruise the front and then hammer, but both were doing so much raw damage. It's a really hard game to analyze. There was a Nova recently, but that wasn't really paired with anything notable. So many Hoggers, so many Blazes. Hanzo also fills the role of that Lunara if you want to do the Zeratul or the Genji. You can do the Hanzo, but I really think the Lunara is a lot easier to pull off.
She's never worked for me. I cannot get her stutter step down right. I do not like the way she moves.
The Lunara?
Yeah, I can't do it. I've tried she's multiple really times because I love auto attack heroes. I am garbage on Lunara. It's just absolute trash.
In her recent rework, light redesign, she's just really, really fun to play. I personally, because of Leaping Strike and missiles still hitting you, you're not invulnerable. Those little tracing bullets from the Vol are still going to hit you. I do not like taking her into quick match. I want a healer. Even though it's fun to, the enemy side doesn't have a healer, right? So like, there's like, oh, they're all going to die of poison, but it's kind of a play your hand and then hearth play style that I just don't find very fun.
I can feel that. I don't think I have a favorite duo anymore. I'm trying to think, like I don't think I have like a snap answer for this. What I want is to just play Illidan with an Abathur on my team for the rest of my life. That's what I want. But the game won't give it to me. And you don't play Abathur.
Not in this mode, no. I could try. I could learn for you. I'll give you an Abathur sometime.
I'm not gonna put you on that.
No,
I'm not gonna send you home with homework.
Well, that was the last episode I was talking about how the lack of body soaking from a bush really destroyed my interest in Abathur and the sneaky, sluggy, sneak around play style that I was personally enjoying.
Mm.
But, you know, just I can do some hats for you. We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. We'll come back next week and talk about it.
Okay. All right. We'll homework report on Abathur Illidan.
A classic combo.
Sounds like a plan. Send your Abathur Illidan tips to itncast@gmail.com. And anything else you want to write in about Heroes of the Storm or otherwise. Talked a lot about the expanding mobile library of Blizzard Entertainment today. I'm very curious to hear what our listeners think about all of that. How many of you are planning on playing Diablo Immortal? Are you excited about Arclight Rumble? Love to hear from some Clash players. Like, am I just... It's very possible I just don't get it. That's okay. I have not been known to be the hippest man in the room, Kyle.
Sometimes things take a moment to click, you know, if we're being innocent here and, you know, we're not hating for hating's sake, there could be something that just doesn't make sense right now.
Indeed. ITNcast@gmail.com. If you're supporting us on Patreon, you can write us on the Patreon Discord server. We've got a dedicated channel for questions, so you don't even need to worry about the inbox. Nonetheless, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you to our wonderful patrons for supporting us. If you like our show and you want to support Kyle and myself directly, you can do so at patreon.com/ITN. Huge thanks to our producers, Sean B. and Mike R. Thank you for the support. Other than that, we're typically live when Frontier Internet Service Provider does what I'm paying them for and gives me an upload speed of above 1 megabit per second.
Enough for audio.
Yeah, man. We're typically live 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays at twitch.tv/amovetv. Other than that, follow the show on Twitter at ITNcast. Kyle, where can folks find you when you're not doing Into the Nexus?
You can find everything I do over at kyleferguson.com, but a lot of that effort has been over on the YouTube at youtube.com/amovetv, where you can find the Grinding Gear show, where we cover Final Fantasy and other topics as well, such as the recent World of Warcraft announcement. You can also... My brain went blank. What was I going to do? What was I about to talk about?
You said D&D.
Yeah, I did the D&D.
CCL interviews?
The Heroes Hearth. Everything I do over at Heroes Hearth, the youtube.com/Heroes Hearth for those guide videos. Or you can just look at the launcher, the hammer guide, and it went up there as well. So thank you to whoever's updating the launcher and getting those videos out there. It's very cool to see the community rallying behind CCL, but also learning up a little bit again in some educational content.
Sick. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. Really, I want you to check out the YouTube as well. Get more Kyle and me nerding out about nerdy things that we love over at youtube.com/AMOVETV. We are working our way through Final Fantasy XIV's second expansion. We're actually rapidly approaching the original ending before we move on to patch content of Stormblood. So got a new video up this week. I'm very, very proud of it. I enjoyed our talk, and my God, your edits were freaking incredible. It's a gorgeous video, dude. Find that at youtube.com/AMOVETV. That's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Into the Nexus. Until next time, good luck and have fun, everybody.
Take care.